Welcome to Daily Living for Christ, 86,400 seconds in a day. Imagine the possibilities of what your life would become if you dedicated an additional 60 seconds each day to walk closer with Christ. Well, that's what we're here for. We are here to partner with you on your journey to drawing closer to Christ. 86,400 seconds. Are you ready? 86,400 seconds. Are you ready to become what Christ has already declared you are? Let's jump in now. I want to spend a couple of moments here just kind of talking about Mary and Martha, because I think there's information inside of this story, and we fail to realize what's inside of the story because we're not remembering. Luke is giving a firsthand account of what transpired when Jesus was around for Theopolis. So he's telling him a story. So everything he's giving us inside of the book, inside of the Gospel of Luke, inside of the book of Acts, has a specific purpose. And that purpose is to tell us, number one, the book of Luke is to tell us how Jesus went about doing what he did, how God was working in him. And in the book of Acts, it's about how God is working in us. So the opening questions that I ask is how do you see people? When you're around people, not just at church, but at work, in your community, your neighbor, driving in the car next to you, how do you see people? Do you see people as a problem or a solution? Do you see people as broken or need of fixing? Or do we see and make people feel like Jesus did and does? Because Jesus was absolutely amazing at how he saw people. The Bible tells us multiple times that he was moved with compassion. And he was able to walk in a level of empathy, and he felt what people felt. So when you think about every time you hear the Bible, or when you read the Bible and when you read texts, I'm going to just mute here real quick. When you read the Bible and you hear texts, it's important to understand that the greatest challenge for us as believers we face in growing up spiritually is allowing past events, good, bad, or indifferent, to distort or corrupt our minds, right? It distorts our minds, our thoughts, and ultimately affects how we receive new information. So the past, though we are gone through it and it's behind us, it still has a ripple effect on our present. And it's on our present because we're allowing it. It went into the file cabinet. And when we sense that emotion, our brain is programmed to go in and pull up that negative emotion or pull up that positive or good emotion. So when we hear the word of God, what we're hearing is Romans 10:17 says it this way. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it doesn't say haven't heard. So the most important thing to realize is whenever you read the Bible or listen to a pastor speak, or you listen to a sermon, challenge yourself to listen with new ears. I said that Jesus had compassion on people because he felt what people needed. And see, this is what true compassion does. But compassion is fueled by love. See, if there's no love in you, you can't operate in compassion. And what compassion does, it causes you to see and feel what the person is experiencing and take action. Because have you ever heard a person say that they were moved with compassion and didn't do anything?
Mm-hmm. No, that's rare.
You see what I'm saying? Compassion causes you to move. And what happens here is that what I was saying is the fact that the greatest challenge for us as believers is allowing past experiences, good, bad, or indifferent, to distort or corrupt our minds regarding new information that we receive. And I said, faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. So the challenge for us as believers, the greatest challenge for us is every time we hear a sermon or we read the Bible or we read a book, the challenge is to ask God to give us ears of a baby or to listen like it's the very first time we've ever heard what it is that we're about to hear. So I challenged people to, as I read this story about Mary and Martha, I'm challenging you to listen with fresh ears regarding this story. Because in the freshness, not in the haven't heard, so if you stay in, I've heard this before, you're going to miss the new revelation or the additional revelation that God wants us to know. Because, yeah, there it is. The Bible tells us that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to cut through bone and marrow and rightly divide the intents of the heart. So I want you to think about that. So what it's saying is, notice, the writer of Hebrews said that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So if you think about the sharpest sword that you can ever imagine, the word of God is greater than that. And a natural sword can cut through bones and marrow. Think about a samurai sword. It can cut through bones and marrow because it's so sharp. So we can cut through a two-edged sword, can cut through on the front stroke and on the back stroke. But now what the word of God says is that the spirit behind the word of God, which is Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, which is God, is able to divide the intents of the heart. So the word of God goes into the inner man and is able to divide or separate the intents of the heart. Nothing else on this earth could ever do that. And that's what's so amazing about the word. But if we go into the mindset of, I've heard this preached 1,000 times already, I've heard multiple people talk about it, you've already shut down your ability to receive new information. So let me read this Mary and Martha, and I'll just spend a couple of moments here with you. And it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And I want you to read. It says, now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Mary I mean, named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted with all the preparations she had to make. So she came up to him, Jesus, and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the best part. It will not be taken away from her." So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to share with you, Martha in this story represents a person that focuses on task over people. So she's a task-oriented person. So I call her task-oriented. Martha focuses on the work at hand. And Martha is most likely the elder child in that household. Because here's the point. She invited Jesus over to her place. And in first century, if you think about the context of that, whoever owned the place was who did the inviting. Think about when the person came to Jesus and invited him over and all the Pharisees. So Martha, being the elder one here, invite Jesus is over. But now, based on custom and based on culture in the first century, her place, or so she thought, her place was preparing for the guests. Just think about this now. This is why she was distracted with all of the preparation, because she had done this before. When you invite a guest over, you ensure that the house is tidied up and the food and everything is available there for them. Now, Mary is different. So Mary is the younger sister. And we see in Mary, Mary is people focused versus task focused. Now, I want to say this immediately up front, because most everyone that talks about these will compare Mary to Martha. And then they'll tell you that Martha actually is too busy, that she missed what Jesus is saying. I'm not going to say that tonight. What I'm saying to you is both of these scenarios has an opportunity. And they're looking at the scenarios, they're looking at Jesus coming over the house from two totally different lenses. And I will say this to you, Martha represents a generation of people. And Mary represents a generation of people. God, Christ, is about people. He's not about personal achievements or tasks. But here's the key, is understanding when the task needs to be done, you do the task. But when God is present, he's saying that the task does not take greater priority over people. So when you think about what Mary is doing here, and I'm going to just elaborate on this just a little bit. I can't talk about what I did on Sunday about this, because that just came out of me, but I can give you more insights on this. And the fact that Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet is mind-blowing. Because sitting at the rabbi's feet in the first century was a sign, or it's what disciples did with their rabbis. And all disciples in the first century were men. So the fact that Mary felt that she needed to sit at Jesus' feet is breaking chains of hundreds of years of customs and traditions. She is breaking a chain and has no clue what she is actually doing. She just heard the voice that Jesus was coming, and she's heard him, and she chose to sit at his feet. She broke all protocol. We need to get this. And her breaking that protocol set in motion how women are able to receive and have things today. It started way before the 1800s. It started when Jesus walked this earth. Mary, the younger sister of Martha, decided to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that ripple effect is still being transformed and transpired into the 21st century. No risk, no reward. But here's what I want you to see in this. I want you to see how Martha responds to what Mary did. She makes Jesus the problem. I want you to grab this. She makes Jesus the problem. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all the preparations she had to make. So she came to him, Jesus, and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work?" Mary's not the problem. Jesus is the problem. And she doesn't even realize that her questioning Christ, she has made him the problem. But not only does she question him, she actually tells him what he should do. See, you didn't catch this. She came to him, Jesus, and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone? Tell her to help me." So how many times have we been in Martha's position and someone else that's working with us has decided to step into God or decided to go all in and spend time with the Lord? And at that moment, we're like, it don't take all that. Or there's no need for you to do that right now. I need you over here. Or how many of us have been the Mary and Martha is now attacking us? But I want you to notice here, Mary doesn't say a word. There's not one word in these verses that Mary said one thing. All Luke is telling us is that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She had an internal need, and the only way to get that need met was to sit at his feet. So the question I ask you today, or I'm going to ask you, is when Jesus is in your house, are you busy with preparations or concerned about other things? Or are you like Mary, you choose to stop everything and sit at his feet? Because at the end of the day, you're both going to get something. Martha got the table prepared. But Jesus tells us what Mary got can never be taken away. It can never be taken away. And I love Jesus's words here. He said, but one thing is needed. And he didn't explain what the one thing is. But he said, Mary has chosen. You see, each and every one of us, every moment of the day, we live in a position of choice. And as a result of the choices we make, enables us to receive or not from God. Because he's all around us. He's in everything. So we can approach life like Martha, or we can approach life like Mary. And most of us, if we're mature, we focused everything from the standpoint of Martha. Martha is your typical Jewish woman during the first century, trained in works. She's trained in works because Jewish Judaism before Christ was all about personal achievement. Well, what do you mean by that? Personal, what is works? It's what you did in order to call yourself righteousness. I prayed all day. I eat this. I drink that. I abstain from this. I observe the Sabbath. It's all about personal achievement. So when you're trying to stack up personal achievements for the glory of God, he's telling you now that doesn't work. Jesus came to fulfill, not abolish. He came to fulfill the works of the law and to introduce faith into the universe. What do I mean by that? Prior to Jesus showing up, the law served as a tutor and a guide to bring people to the understanding that they could not save themselves. So Jesus shows up and says, okay, this is what you were used to, but I'm introducing you to the kingdom of God, which is at hand. And what is the kingdom of God? It is God's domain. And where is God's domain? It's everywhere. And God's domain requires you to receive everything from him by faith. And how do you receive that? By hearing. And listen, if you are or a person is deaf, then by Braille. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they can't hear by Braille or by whatever form the word comes to you. But the key here is, and I'll sum it up like this. What we fail to realize is the actions we take today can have an effect on the generations to come. And we don't even know it. Just like the actions that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents did, the actions they took have an effect on us today. We're here. As a result, today, we are living on the earth because our parents said yes. Just think about that. Our parents said yes, but God ordained that we should be here. So they obeyed the calling of God in their hearts that no matter what, the child that's in you, I want to live. And we think about all of this is from Mary and Martha. Yes, because it's about choice. It's about Martha representing legalism that's demanding what should be done and when it should be done and how it should be done. And Mary represents the grace of God. And the grace of God is this: God can offer his grace to whoever and whomever and whenever he wants to offer it. He does not have to consult with anyone. And that's why the Apostle Paul said it this way, and I will end. He said, his grace is sufficient for me. And Paul was saying, God's grace can never run out. Why? Because God is grace. That's it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Daily Living for Christ, where we have one purpose, and that's to partner with you on your daily walk with Christ. Before you go, I have two questions I want to throw out to you. First, what insights did you gain from this episode? And number two, how will you apply those new insights in your daily walk with Christ? Remember, awareness leads to choice, and choice leads to a decision. There's 86,400 moments in a day. 86,400 moments in a day. Let today be the day that you increase by one more moment with Christ. Until next time, I'm out.